For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to Fightful Overbooks Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. It is Sunday, February 18th, 2024. We are so glad we are here, but we are so glad you are here with us today. So we got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about The Rock. We're going to talk about Cody Rhodes. We're going to talk about Darby Allin, AEW Dynamite, Raw, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun stuff. But as I start every show, Maggie, how you doing?
Hi. I'm okay. See, I'm alive.
You are alive.
Yeah, everything's fine. I mean, okay, nothing's fine. But like, you get what I'm saying. Everything is fine. This is great. This does not suck so much. So, do you know what the interesting part about not having social media is?
What's that?
So, because I'm not on Twitter and Instagram and everything, because like I'm taking a break from that, and because of that, I have no idea what happened in wrestling this week. I mean, I watched all the shows. Don't get me wrong, I watched all the shows, but because I don't see people talking about it, I don't interact with anyone in terms of wrestling, and you know, I don't see conversations in front of me, or you know, having conversations at all. So it basically, it's almost as if I've never watched anything. Thank God for my notes here, because otherwise I have no idea what happened this week, and this is bugging the crap out of me. It's so annoying, because like I have this stupid thing, you know, with short-term and long-term memory, because it's like when you study something, and if you don't put it into practice, it's as if you've never studied it at all. So that's about it. You know, not being on social media and stuff. It's been kind of relaxing. I implore anyone that's, you know, having, you know, some mental issues and mental crap to just like not just turn off social media for a bit. Like, people are gonna miss you, and you're gonna miss these people. You people. so that's fine. It's a fine vacation for, you know, yeah, for your mind. So guys, hi.
Sometimes.
Welcome to our let me do my thing.
Sorry, my bad.
Yeah. Hello, coexisters, fans of coexisting. Welcome to our show. Please like the video. It helps us a lot. I cannot tell you how much it helps us. You can donate a super chat. It's the bottom of the live chat. It's the little dollar sign. You can donate a super chat if you want to support our show or me, because I found, you know, new cosmetics that cost a lot and I need money to buy it. Also, we need money for Wembley, so that's coming. You can send a Humber Chat at humberchats.com. It makes us keep a little bit more of the money. Also subscribe to Fightful Select. That is the best way to support everyone that busts their ass at Fightful. So yeah.
So, like, you took a break, like, for yourself. So basically, you're saying you made the
sacrifice.
So I know that you were smirking throughout my entire speech, and I know that you were up to something. Stupid me that I just didn't assume that it was gonna be that. So I'm gonna let you pass.
Okay.
You know, that's pass, because like I suppose I deserve that.
That's okay. I won't ever hit it again though. I'm gonna delete it right now, so you'll never see that video ever again.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So, but Maggie, we rarely get to talk about SmackDown, the SmackDown that just happened, because it happened less than 48 hours ago. It was a very interesting SmackDown because it was the last live SmackDown before the Elimination Chamber. They did record this next week's Elimination Chamber already, because they will be in Perth, Australia.
They also recorded NXT.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, a lot of the production people are needed to be in Perth.
Yep.
For show.
So we have recorded NXT coming up this Tuesday, and we have a recorded SmackDown on Friday. And then we have Elimination Chamber starting early here in the States. Afternoon for you, which is very nice. So
it's noon and I'll be at work, so fuck that, I suppose.
Well, yeah, but you'll be, yeah, true. But, you know, sort of like that baseball fan, maybe you can just put it on for somebody.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Maggie, there's, you know, Manchester United and Manchester City and Liverpool playing. Can you, like, do you mind playing? Like, fuck off, I'm watching an Elimination Chamber.
There you go. See? They understand. But Maggie, sure. Going back to SmackDown, it was a very interesting episode because there was a lot going on. We had qualifying matches still going on to get into the Elimination Chamber. We had Logan Paul wrestle. He doesn't usually wrestle on SmackDown.
Doesn't usually show up whatsoever on SmackDown, Rob.
Yeah, that's true. But you had Dwayne The Rock Johnson show up in a truck, his F1. I don't know if it's an F-150 or whatever it is. It's a big
Ford. He works like an asshole.
Oh, he can, because he's The Rock. what's his name in Moana?
Maui.
Okay. So yeah,
he's Maui? People in the chat, please.
Yeah. So he can park whatever.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
He can park however the hell he wants to. So, anyways, we're pretty much just going to talk about that promo. There was a lot to it. What I want to ask you is, what did you think of that promo, first off?
It was a weird promo, Rob.
All right. Did it bring you back? Sorry, go ahead.
No, I have nothing. I have nothing to add. Did you what?
Well, no, it was like, for me, what it did is it brought back the yesteryears of Rock. You know, like, that was the first time that I felt like that was the Rock that I remembered. I mean, the John Cena like days with him and John Cena going back and forth, that wasn't that was still the Rock, obviously. You saw like a little bit of what we remembered him, but the way he cut that promo was heel Rock from the Attitude Era. That's what it reminded everybody of that knew that Rock, just the way he looked, that vest going on.
I enjoyed the vest.
Yeah, it was just an awesome, awesome promo. I loved it. But there was a lot to it that a lot of people have speculated on, which I wanted to talk to you about, because
what are people speculating? I have no idea. Okay. I have no idea what people thought about the Darby Allin promo. I have no idea what they thought about Cody and Seth, The Rock. Tell me, bring me up to speed, because I literally have no idea.
Well, okay, so there's a Twitter user. This is where I saw it first, the person that probably explained it the best. And a lot of people have explained it, but there's a Twitter user that goes by the name @TheFog, F-O-G, Jones, J-O-N-E-S. And he said, basically, when The Rock started the promo, he said, The Rock is going to do everything in his power to make sure that you walk out of WrestleMania what you are, which is a loser. Now, when he said that, he was pretty much looking at the entire bloodline. He made it sound like he was talking about Cody Rhodes, but he was kind of looking at the bloodline when he said that. And he kept talking.
Interesting.
And the one thing he said, you don't understand that because you're spoiled, entitled, little crybaby bitches. Then he took a large pause in the sentence, he took a very long pause. And after that line, he states, Cody Rhodes' story is just ending. And he's talking about winning the title. And that's when he said, Roman and Rock's story is just beginning, which is a feud. After that promo ends, there's a tie back to the word loser. And when the bloodline holds up their normal ones, if you look at The Rock, he's holding up an L. Like,
are people dissecting this so much?
Yeah, and Phil Lindsay from he did the same thing. He broke it down really well as well, and he pretty much did the same thing. And I'm just giving the person that I saw this from first, because that's who I saw it from first. I don't want to, but Phil pretty much tackled it the same way. And he probably went into it a little bit more detailed, they made good points. And I really, when I rewatched it, it was pretty solid. I mean, they make some good points, and it's interesting. And a lot of people did say this too, because if you look at it, he did the guns.
Yeah,
up.
The guns up. Yeah,
and that was one thing that was funny, because Colton and his brother both did tweet after that, guns up. So, which is fine, because
not being on Twitter about that sucks right now. Like, I wanted to see that.
Yeah, Colton and Austin did tweet that, and what's funny is, you know, Rock used to probably see those little turds running around, you know, like the backstage.
I'm sure.
So
I'm
that's
sure.
Probably pretty funny for him. So if you think about it that way, he was holding the like L up, but he was kind of looking, and there was a couple of other things that people brought up. He brought up, I know you're a big football fan and you stayed up to watch the Super Bowl last week. He did bring up the San Francisco 49ers, which is Roman Reigns' favorite football team.
Mm-hmm,
and he brought that up, and that was kind of interesting. So it was just one of those things where, I mean, that could be an additional Easter egg. There's just a lot of different things that like made this interesting. And those Easter eggs were pretty on point. And I was looking at that too, because when he was cutting this promo, I'm thinking they're still going to have a match. Like, these two are going to have a match.
They are.
Yeah.
So, I have a lot of questions then, because I got none of that, by the way. I got none of that. So this is actually one of the bright sides of social media then, because you get to see, you know, little stuff like that. Because right now, it's as if I'm watching wrestling in 2020, because I didn't have Twitter back then. I didn't use, you know, Instagram for stuff like that. I had no idea. Like, I was the only one watching wrestling in my head. I did not interact with anyone whatsoever about wrestling. And it's as if I'm reliving this time. It's not so fun, by the way. So if that is the case, do you think that this was the plan that entire time? You know, or was this a result of people being behind Cody Rhodes so much? What do you think?
I think it was
because I'm sorry to cut you off, because The Rock kept going on and on about long-term like a right story for their match, you know, between The Rock and Roman, and if this is the case, that is kind of brilliant for me. That's okay.
Well, there was definitely a pivot. You know what I'm saying? They definitely went in thinking that The Rock and Roman were going to have a match. And I think they realize, like, okay, well, we effed up because the crowd is not having this whatsoever. And I think what happened was, okay, we know we messed up. We have to work around this. How can we do this? And that's when I think they came up with this story. Like, what's the best way to do this? And you have, like, the WWE's writers, you have creative, and then you have The Rock's writers, and you have my dog going nuts upstairs.
You have Taco, and, yeah.
And so you have all that going on, and I think they just came up with a new story on how they're going to go out about it, is what I think happened.
Yeah, because, like, kind of at the beginning of The Rock's promo, he started off kind of like a babyface. You know, you broke, you know, the attendance record and everything, and everyone, you know. And then when he initially came out, like, he got the goosebumps and everything, you know, like, everything that he did when he was a babyface. And then he turned it around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That the people were stupid and then didn't take showers or, yeah, like, everything.
The polygamy joke got me, like,
yeah, that got me because, like, in recent years, every time The Rock came back, it was, you know, kind of goofy. I'm always a fan of The Rock, you know that, like, he's my all-time favorite, but, like, this side is gonna chant this and this side is gonna chant that, and I'm like, let's get it over with, because it's kind of corny and I'm not enjoying myself right now. Like, it's The Rock. I always need to be enjoying myself when The Rock is on my television. That's all I'm saying. And this was good. This was actually good, and I enjoyed it. So I'm kind of anxious to see what happens in long term, because, like, they can have a year worth of build between The Rock and Roman Reigns and do it for next year, because I cannot get out the image of The Rock in my head that's blown out from one spine buster and a people's elbow. I mean, that's, I don't want to see The Rock being bad in the ring. I mean, like, he was never a ring general to begin with, you know, like, he was an entertainer. He's not he's an entertainer. He's not a wrestler. That's all I'm saying. The wrestlers from that generation were, you know, Bret Hart and, you know, like, other people. Like, he was always the entertainment part of wrestling.
Yeah. Well, yeah, when he said this, like, I just loved it, because and just how the crowd just boo. It's like, funny thing is, it was like he offended everybody there. It's like, well, you know, if it. Yeah, and granted, I know not everybody, obviously, in Utah is.
Of course.
But it just the way, like, just the way he did it, and it was perfect timing, and how he just turned on timing. Him. I just absolutely loved every minute of it, and I mean, Scott George says it right too. I mean, I think eventually Roman isn't going to tolerate it much longer. I don't think, because there was one shot of Roman kind of just looking like, what, you know, but. They kind of went away from it, and he just didn't kind of let it register. And I like how they're portraying Roman here. He's not seeing it. I think I think we're starting to see The Rock kind of showing that, hey, I'm going to be coming after you, you know. Where
do you think Paul Heyman stands? Because in my head, Paul Heyman is this brilliant mastermind. And if he doesn't see this coming, I'm going to be shocked. Or if he's not in on it.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of, yeah, it's, I don't ever, in kayfabe, I don't ever want to see Paul Heyman, someone getting the best of him in terms of mind games, you know.
Well, you know, and that's a good point, because I kind of wonder, Braun Breaker, you know,
exactly, because they had a thing backstage.
So I'm wondering if, like, that's his exit strategy, you know, like,
exactly.
So that's because there's still been talk that Roman's going to take a break, like, for a while. There's been talk about that. I know there's been talk, like, maybe The Rock and Roman at SummerSlam. I don't know. if that's going to be the case, because I don't think that's going to be the case. I think they're gonna try to figure this out, like, for next year's WrestleMania. That's what I think. I don't have any way of, that's just my theory. I'm not saying there's anything behind that. That's just what I'm
going to be happy if it's at SummerSlam. I mean, SummerSlam is a big event for them. Like, I'm not, it's part of the Big Four, and I'm absolutely fine with that. But it does kind of seem like, you know, a WrestleMania kind of thing.
No.
That's it.
And I saw somebody, and maybe it might have been Phil yesterday, and I can't remember if it was, but somebody pointed out that, and it might have been Reg, I can't even remember if it was Grapsody, because I've watched a couple of different things, but the one thing that somebody could do, like, for The Rock to get kind of like on Roman's bad side here, is he challenges both Cody and Seth to a tag match without Roman, like, saying, yeah, let's do it, you know, like, he just basically does it for Roman, you know, like, says, hey, we'll take you on at night one.
I understand that, but here's the thing with that tag match. No one can afford to be pinned. No one can afford to lose this match, because what the fuck? Like, it's hi, Chris, sweetie, I missed you. Hi. It's, you can look at it like that.
No, I was just gonna say thanks, Chris, for the super chat.
Thank you so much. Yes, everyone, please, a reminder for to send super chats and Humper chats at humperchats.com in order to support the show. So The Rock cannot be pinned.
No,
that's not happening. Roman Reigns could not get pinned. Cody Rhodes, if he gets pinned on night one, why should he have I know he won the Rumble, but, like, you need to protect the guy in order to be a legitimate threat for the main event of WrestleMania Night 2. And then there's Seth Rollins. Like, being a fan of Seth Rollins right now is incredibly hard. Because I know that they're having an entire event that will determine, you know, his opponent for WrestleMania, you know, the Elimination Chamber. I get that. But right now, he is the most after of afterthoughts that you can possibly after. It's almost like they keep burying the guy. They keep burying the title and everything. Like, he keeps rooting for other people whilst no one is rooting for him, and that kind of pisses me off.
Well,
he cuts amazing promo after amazing promo, and that's what keeps him alive, because it's Seth Rollins, and I've always adored the crap out of Seth Rollins. He's so my favorite, and if I wasn't a fan of Seth Rollins, I wouldn't give a crap about that title.
Well, the one thing too that you could do, like, if they do go that route, and I know it's cliche because it happens every damn time, but this is where Solo Sikoa could come into play and take Rollins out and cause him to be the pin. That way you can still protect him somewhat.
I know you think that that's a protection, but I don't want this anymore.
I'm just saying that's the only way you can do it. Like, to make it look okay, like, I mean, for it to be okay for in Seth Rollins, like, to take that pin. I mean,
I can see that.
But they, you're right, they have made Seth look somewhat like a chump. I'm glad. The way I look at it is, am I glad they had Seth there at the Mania conference? Yes. I think Bayley should have been there too.
Yeah, we talked about this last week. I know, like, we were disappointed that Bayley wasn't there, but, like, at that presser, that was the problem. Seth was the problem with that presser, because, like, he just stood there and just, you know, made goofy expressions at everything that was happening. He's owed a lot. Oh, yeah. And I'm so sure that he's gonna sign. Like, I know it's a contract here for him and Becky.
What I want. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
What I want, this is what I want. I want after what Cody wins, after Cody wins that next night on Raw, that's when I want Seth to turn on him. That's when I want Seth to turn on Cody.
Well, if Seth turns on Cody, I would like to think that that would happen because he snapped that he lost his title in Mania. Whether that be because someone beat him for the title or because Damian Priest cashed in and like turned it into whatever. I want him to lose the title and then he snaps.
There you go. That's a good point. That is a very good point. I like that idea. I like that. We got two more super chats. Chris says, you guys want to do a chamber watch along? I'd probably be up for that. Maggie will be at work, but
I'm going to be. Stop that. Stop doing fun things while I'm not here.
Yes. Quit having fun, damn it. Okay.
Quit having fun, damn it.
Eric, hello, my friend, says, Maggie, Rob, so nice to see you both. My questions are your favorite finishing moves in all of wrestling. And Maggie, you ever heard of the metal band The Sword?
The Sword is like that. That sounds like, the children of Manowar. I do not like Manowar. The Sword, what kind of music did they play? Like, I know it's heavy, but like what kind? Because like they sound like, you know, the types with the, you know, with the protective shield and the horses and everything, like going to battle and, you know, save the princess and stuff. Manowar are, you know, that sort of band. And Sexton and Sabaton. No. Finishing move of all time, that is forever and ever, the Black Widow from AJ Lee.
Man, that's hard.
Yeah.
I really like the one winged angel.
Yeah, but like it's because I'm, you know, I will never shut up about AJ Lee. You guys already know that. Angel, what the fuck?
Yeah, I stuttered and then it happened to you.
I know.
Yeah, surprisingly, like it's not a submission move. So like I would say like that would probably be it. Well, that's the thing.
Like, I want to say that Braun Breaker's spear is really good.
If it was a submission move, there it is. But
yeah, the Bret Hart's sharpshooter is a thing of beauty. Absolutely, I'm all for that. Stoner metal. Okay, I'm not a stoner person. Like it's a bit too stoned for me. Like I know that's redundant. There are a lot of stoner bands that have played in my bar, and that is just not my thing. It's like, I don't know, like there are exceptions to the rule always, but it's just not my thing. The Sword, they're called the Sword. Like, what nationality are they? Are the Americans? Because Stoner is kind of an American genre.
Yeah,
I want to say.
But yeah, so there we go. But we were talking about Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, so let's talk
talk
about that promo. That was one of Seth Rollins' best promos that he's had.
And yet again, it's a promo made for someone else and not hyping himself up. That's what pissed me off. You were talking about Seth or Cody?
Well, no, the Seth and Cody promo. Like,
yeah, the Seth. I got chills. They're multiplying. And I'm losing. Yeah, I'm not doing that. So... Yeah, so I have notes and everything about that. So Cody got in the ring. He acknowledged the people's support because, like, the people were the one who turned that around and everything. He said that there's only one way that he can repay the people. And he mentioned that The Rock and Roman Reigns were the perfect storm. The guy has a way with words. I will always pay attention to Cody's promos, like, because the guy can talk. Like, he was, like, his promos on AEW were, you know, probably the thing that everyone talked about at the end of the show, and I missed that. He said that he's gonna hit him back, The Rock. Yeah,
I love that line. Like,
yeah, I'm gonna hit you back.
Yeah, he said, how did he say? He said, he says everybody's been a fan of The Rock at some point in their lives, but he got slapped, at the kickoff show, and then he tells The Rock, but he goes, I'll hit him back, and like how the crowd reacted to that, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Like, Cody always has the audience in the palm of his hands. I always enjoy that. And then Seth came out. Cody, of course, thanked him for, you know, coming to his aid at the presser. And I enjoy that because, like, I kind of want Seth and Cody to dance forever, you know?
I want them to be... What's the best way to put this?
Frenemies?
I kind of want... Well, no, this is the best way to put it. I kind of want Seth and Cody to be Flair Steamboat. Like, always kind of, like, have a path, you know? Like,
of course, yeah.
Like, always have, like, the... They will always have their own thing, you know? They'll always be a rival, you know?
Yeah.
That's that's the best way to put it.
Absolutely. Cody pleaded for Seth pleaded Cody to finish his story. He asked, he was such a hype man. I enjoyed that so much. Again, I would have enjoyed if, you know, it was actually about Seth, because okay, we get it. Like, Cody, it's about Cody and Roman, and I'm so in for that because I need that for that damn story to finish already. And it is going to finish at WrestleMania this year. We get it. It's about Cody. But, like, it's about... Seth, you have a title yourself, dude. I don't know if you know that. So he asked, what's your plan? What's your plan, man? Because, like, there was Solo Sikoa last year and all sorts of, you know, of interruptions. And he said, you don't have to finish... You don't have to do this alone. You don't need, how do you say it? You don't need to fight this. You don't have to finish this quality suited to be. You, what the fuck did I have right even?
He said you don't have to do this basically alone. He said,
you don't need to fight this battle alone. There is only one man on earth who is quality suited to be your shield.
Yeah.
Finally, I understood what I wrote. Jesus. So that gave me chills. That absolutely gave me chills. And then I thought about Dean Ambrose, and I'm like, yeah, okay.
That's, I did too. I think everybody thought about Dean Ambrose, like, right when he said that, you know? It's just...
Right when he said that. And he's like, LOL, no. So that line gave me absolute chills because in kayfabe, Roman never beat Seth, because that match that they had way back at the Rumble, it ended in a disqualification. Like,
yeah,
Seth never got pinned. So,
yeah, there was a reason for that. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Because they could keep that story going.
Yeah, yeah, sure. But, like, it never ended in my head. Yeah.
No, it didn't.
It never ended. But I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying this. And if this wasn't the plan, if they actually wanted to do Rock and Roman this year and sweep Cody under the rug for next year or SummerSlam or whatever it is that they wanted to do, if this wasn't the initial plan, way to go on, you know, making, like, reversing this. This is good. Because when it was announced, because the thing is, I'm still going to need an explanation from Cody.
Yeah, I do too. And maybe, yeah, we'll, like, one.
he never got that because I'm gonna take everything from you, but not at WrestleMania. And now I'm gonna explain why he made the decision to actually do it at WrestleMania.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that I don't want it. Of course, I'm like I was so confused after SmackDown when he stepped away in order for The Rock to come in. Like, I know I'm enjoying where this is going, but like I'm gonna need an explanation as to why.
Yeah, got a super chat from a good friend, Soupy. Hello, Soupy. He says, I feel like this is Seth's story for Mania, taking his eyes off the ball and losing his title to either Drew or Damian Priest.
Exactly. Because, like, the story writes itself. Because at the end of the day, Seth put all his energy into rooting for Seth and being his cheerleader and hyping him up. Like, he's a hype man. And because all his energy was there, because he so much wanted for Roman to lose so he cannot be there or whatever. He wasted all his energy on that, and there was zero energy left for him to actually fight because he still has a bum knee, by the way. Like, he's still dealing with that. And then the story writes itself as to why he's turning on Cody on the Raw after Mania, probably.
And Seth is...
Thank you, Soupy.
Seth says that he's, I think, doing like ahead of schedule. So I don't want to misquote here, so I'll look here in a second. But I think he's... I know he said he's ahead of schedule, he believes. And I think he said he's maybe 2 to 3 weeks out, like he thinks, but I'm going to double check because I don't want to be completely wrong on that.
Okay.
So that'll be interesting because maybe if that is the case, maybe they obviously have time to make a match for him at Mania. So Eric sent us another super chat. He says, wrong one. Let's see here. It is this one. Metal for Maggie. How do I send a playlist?
At some point I'm gonna come back to Twitter and I'm gonna friend you. Like, I'm gonna follow you and then you can send me the playlist.
There you go. Cool.
I'm gonna be back, okay? Like, it's at some point I'm gonna come back. Speaking about Elimination Chamber. Lashley actually beat Bronson Reed to qualify for the chamber. Like, do you think that they're doing nothing with Bronson Reed at Australia?
I don't know.
Think that he's actually gonna face, like, he's not gonna face Walter, because like Walter is gonna face Jey Uso for the Intercontinental Championship this week on Raw.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're having a match this week on Raw. Do you think that this will be the match where Jimmy interferes and costs Jay, you know, the title, and then building towards, you know, their match at WrestleMania?
I do think so.
I'll actually be happy if this match open night one for WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I do think they'll find something for Bronson Reed and Elimination Chamber.
What?
Or just maybe a match against, I don't know, somebody just... They'll find something, I think. But that's the other thing, too, is I think his wife might be expecting, we're like right around the same time.
Oh!
That could be. So that might be why. It's just might be one of those like circumstances where like it's like, and I get it, by all means, like if I had a kid coming on the way, like in...
Oh, the like, your child should, like, absolutely be a priority.
Because, you know, WWE will go back. So it's like one of those things, you know. It's just...
I know. I understand. And But, like, they will have Rhea Ripley there. Like, not I'm not saying anything, you know, bad about Bronson Reed, but Rhea Ripley is the Australian in that company. Like, Grayson Waller will have Cody and Seth for... Yeah, for... the Waller thing, you know?
Yep. So, yep, he'll be there, and that's kind of where, like, that there's been talk about The Rock. That was one thing about Elimination Chamber. There's been talk about how they wanted The Rock there at Elimination Chamber. So this might be a way, like, he just comes out, and that's where this possibility of the challenge at WrestleMania could come to be. I'm not sure yet. We'll find out. Possibly. Who knows? But it's been an interesting week for WWE TV, and it's just going to get more interesting as far as it goes along. I mean, I listened to Sean's Q&A the other day, and last year he said they started the Hall of Fame announcements around March 14th, around that Raw, like whatever.
Really?
It might have, yeah.
So there's a lot of time left.
Yeah, we're about 6 weeks away, 6 or 7 weeks away from Mania.
Yeah, because like everyone keeps asking Sean about the Hall of Fame inductees, and I'm like, well, they really haven't announced anyone whatsoever yet.
Yeah.
And this is kind of puzzling. And then when you kind of think about it, there's like a lot of time.
Yeah, so March 14th is when they have it. And so, I mean, we have that, and that'll be interesting because a lot of people get excited about that.
AJ Lee.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. I think two names that we should expect, I know we don't have this on our script, but three names we should expect. AJ Lee.
Thank you.
I think we'll see Bray Wyatt on this, and I also think we'll see Paul Heyman.
Absolutely. Paul Heyman or Paul White?
Paul Heyman. Paul White's not going to be there yet because he's still on AW contract.
Yeah, sure, but like they're
not going to do it yet. That's the thing. Like, I'm sure Tony would be fine with it. Tony Khan would be absolutely fine with it, but you know how WWE is, that, you know.
Well, like, I don't, because like I've known up until now, I've known WWE with Vince there, but like Vince isn't there anymore.
Well, here's a point that I can tell you. Like last week when Collision and Rampage actually did pretty decent, WWE didn't release their overnight numbers like they usually do. Like when they're bad numbers, WWE releases those numbers to a certain pathetic person. They didn't do it that week.
To a certain pathetic person, okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay. But like this week on SmackDown, another interesting thing happened that I know we're both excited to see where it goes. AJ Styles backstage, he was, you know, I think AJ Lee should lead the class this year, Ace.
Yeah. Ace definitely evergreen.
I don't even care.
No, it's hey, I agree with you. She deserves it. I'm saying he'll be in the Hall of Fame, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt.
He'll be in the Hall of Fame. Not saying anything else, so don't blow that out of proportion there.
AJ Lee, AJ Styles backstage. Brawl like a bit with
a little pushing and shoving with
Carl Anderson. I wonder where this leads to, because like we've been having, like I've seen people speak about it. We've been having a lot of you know, groups of three dudes and three girls, three dudes and a woman, and I don't want this to end, because like this was, you know, the first group with three dudes and a woman. This is kind of interesting, because do you think that it's actually leads to an AJ Styles versus Carl Anderson match at WrestleMania? Because I keep wondering what their plan is for AJ Styles for WrestleMania, because I don't want to see AJ Styles not have a match at WrestleMania, because like it's becoming harder and harder, you know, like it's not gonna.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying.
Yeah. So this is what I think it's going to be leading to here. Let me tell you who I think it's going to be leading to. It'll be popping up here just a second. This is where I think all this is leading to.
Okay.
That's where I think all of this is leading to. I think he's going to come up, he's going to show up and solve things. He's going to make peace between everything, and then these guys are going to take over for a little while. I have a feeling. I think the show is going to revolve around them just beating the hell out of people.
Because Roman Reigns isn't going to be there, right?
Correct.
So you actually think that Tama Tonga will have nothing to do with the bloodline?
Correct. Yeah, he doesn't have anything to do with them. Not related. So
I would have popped if they had Samoa Joe.
Even though he's not related at all, just like on the
even
side.
Even though he's on the side, just existing there.
Yeah, just wrestlers that are not part of the bloodline, just so people know.
Just so they had Joe.
Yeah.
I would actually love that, because we all know that WWE have been interested in Tama Tonga for a while now, but like, dude ain't budging. Yeah. When is his contract up?
Who?
Tama Tonga.
It's up.
It's already up. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, no problem, man. No problem. I could see why that kind of came out. If I just tuned in, I would absolutely understand where you're coming from. So no problem there.
No problem there.
Yeah.
This will be actually incredibly interesting. Incredibly interesting.
That's just my theory. I that's why I think it's
coming. Are people talking about, because again, I have no idea.
No, not that I've seen
social media for a while.
Not that I've seen. I did not get to watch Friday's post show, so I don't know like what they talked about, and I only got to watch probably about 45 minutes of Grapsy yesterday, so I don't know what they talked about as far as like full SmackDown. That's just my theory, since I saw that pushing and shoving with AJ. That's just kind of what popped into my head right then. I was like, I wonder, because you have two other guys that are going to be available too. El Fantasmo and Hikuleo are also free agents. So I'm kind of wondering, very interesting.
Do you think that Finn Balor gets involved also? Because probably I'm almost sure that they're going to lose those tag team championships to Miz and R-Truth at WrestleMania. I'm so sure that they're doing that. And
that's just weird. But I mean,
I know it's weird, but I kind of feel that they will eventually reward R-Truth for being him throughout all these years, because like I don't see the 24/7 championship being such a big deal, although he did make it a big deal. Like, his segments were funny, him and Carmella and everything. That was fine. So them rewarding R-Truth with those tag team championships, I don't care. They can literally lose them at Raw after WrestleMania. I don't care. Just have the guy be a tag team champion for 24 hours. Like, and they can make this a 24-hour thing.
You already know that this is the way they can get the Miz back to being a heel, because you know they don't absolutely like him being a heel forever, you know. They are a face forever.
That is weird, because everyone's cheering for The Miz right now. R-Truth keeps trying to call The Miz, you know. Like, it's kind of weird, okay? Like, I've always been someone who's enjoyed The Miz's work, and I always think that he's kind of underrated and everyone's booing him. I hope that they're booing him for the right reasons, you know, because, like, he's supposed to get booed, you know? Like, he's that guy. But, like, he was always a worker. I've always said that, you know, Miz was never the in-ring guy, because he is the entertainer. Exactly how, like, you know, I viewed The Rock, but, like, in a totally different sense of the word. But lately, The Miz has been having good matches. And I'm like,
yeah, this is my only thing that's kind of been weird about, like, Truth, and this is where I think the writers kind of went too far, is where R-Truth mistook KO for The Miz. That was kind of just like, okay, that's just kind of like a little weird.
Yeah. So. I understand that. But, like, it's our truth. Like, I know you know how Sami Zayn revived the Bloodline story? Because it was getting incredibly stale and people were getting bored, and then Sami Zayn came in. That's my thing with the Judgment Day, because like the Judgment Day kind of never worked for me, and it was kind of weird. But now that R-Truth is there, it's kind of, I'm kind of looking forward to their segments, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing. Like, and he made them a lot better. Like, those segments a lot better, because I mean, he's made like everybody crack on that show, like, or like lose. Absolutely. Like, for just a second, like they've lost it for just a second, and that's pretty good. So I always love it when the wrestlers break. It's just one of my favorite things.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's the best. That is so good. I mean, for me, the Judgment Day, okay, it's kind of working for, because like I don't really like JD McDonagh. Like, he's so good in the ring, and I hate that. And the fact that he, like, next week they're gonna have a match together, okay? Like, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate are gonna team up against JD McDonagh and Dominic Mysterio, right?
Yeah.
I cannot wait for this, because Tyler Bate and JD, don't Google me, in the ring again. I want that match of the year 2019. Look it up. I love that. I can't wait. I want to see that. So for me, Judgment Day being in this kind of comedic thing with R-Truth, this is kind of making me want to watch that, because like, Rhea Ripley was always the dominant in the group. She was always the one who takes things seriously. She's kind of the leader. I always thought that Rhea Ripley was the leader for Judgment Day. I kind of feel like everyone does. So her entire thing with Nia Jax right now and with Becky Lynch, I kind of feel like everyone knows that Becky Lynch is going to win the Elimination Chamber. Like, this is her first Elimination Chamber that she's entering. And she's gonna win it, and they're gonna have a fantastic match at WrestleMania. Right. So the two women's matches right now for WrestleMania, Bayley and Io, and Becky Lynch and Rhea Ripley, those are magnificent matches, and I really, really, really hope that one of those matches gets to main event night one. I know that if it's about Seth and Cody versus Roman and Rock, I know that if it's about that, they're going to do that, or, you know, have Seth Rollins versus whoever wins the chamber match. They can do that. I understand that. But like, you have two nights of WrestleMania. Make one of them be main evented by women. Like, that's, you can make that match so important just so it can main event. That's all I'm saying.
Gotcha. No, I understand. The other thing too about R-Truth, I just wanted to add, what did you think about him thinking DIY as DX?
That was so ridiculously funny, because it's Ciampa, okay? Like, he's the bald head with the beard, and I'm like, yeah, sure. Like, he's kind of Triple H. And then Johnny Gargano, like, that was sexy boy, right? that was funny. That was good.
It was really good. And then Johnny Gargano, I don't know if you saw this, but he, I'll have to pull it up for you, because he posted a shirt. Like, if they did like a shirt of that, he posted what it would look like. And it was pretty solid. And I'm going to download it here so I can show you. It made a lot of people just pop.
Dang. Okay.
Yeah. So I was like, Yeah, they should do that.
But I mean, it's not official merch, right?
No, he just put it out there.
It should be, for sure.
So let's move on from the WWE talk for a little bit. Let's go ahead and just move on to a little Cooper Effects. How does that sound? All right, guys. So this week's Cooper Effect, unfortunately, there was a, stop me if you've heard this before. Unfortunately, there was a mass shooting in Kansas City after the Super Bowl event to celebrate the Kansas City Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. And there was a Kansas City player by the name of Trey Smith who comforted a young boy with the WWE Championship belt. The Kansas City Chiefs tried to celebrate their Super Bowl victory on Wednesday, but the parade was basically there was a shooting that occurred. And in the aftermath, Chiefs offensive lineman Trey Smith shared a WWE Championship with the young boy to help keep him calm. He said, "I was thinking, what can I do to help him out?" Smith said in an interview on Thursday's Good Morning America via WKYV. He said, "I just handed him the belt. I said, hey, buddy, you're the champion. No one's going to hurt you, man. We've got your back." Smith talked to the boy about wrestling to help take his mind off what was just occurred. 21 people were wounded and one person was killed in the shooting. Three people were detained and firearms were recovered. Chiefs long snapper James Winchester and the head coach Andy Reid also were there to comfort those on the scene. And it's just, you know, usually we talk about somebody that does good, and this time it like involved a wrestling title, and there were a lot of people there that helped get this situation under control. I mean, this is, I'm not going to talk about gun violence because that's a whole different show, but what he did, just to get that kid's mind off what was going on and bringing up the wrestling, even if it didn't have anything to do with wrestling and I saw this story, I'd probably still want to talk about it. But I figured since there was a wrestling aspect, I might as well bring it up and thank him for doing what he did. Because, I mean, there's one thing that I think we all can agree on is helping kids out when they're distressed is a major kudos. So just want to say thanks to him for doing that. And it sucks that this had to happen in the first place. So now we actually have another Cooper Effect. This one's kind of like an unannounced one that I just decided to do, but our next one is for Sour Graps, who just celebrated their 500th episode of Sour Graps on Fightful Select. Just want to say congratulations to them, Alex and Kate. They are very, very good people.
I love you.
Yeah, and they're both great people. They both make people laugh, and they both have fun, and that's the thing. Like, they just want to have fun, and they have fun. They don't want you to, they're there to have fun. You know, that's the thing. That's what we want to do. We want to have fun. And like, whether they're doing impersonations or they're just having fun with one another, if they're having fun with people viewing, they just like to have fun. And that's what it's all about. And they do a great job.
I'm sorry, finish.
No, I'm just saying they do a great job about it. And what they have a great chemistry with how they do things, and when they do their impersonations, it's amazing. Like, it's just great stuff. And the thing is one of the things that I love the most, it's when people do not get their bit.
Yeah,
that's,
I know.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite thing, is like when people don't get their bit. And I mean, the thing that sucks is when people don't get their bit and they take it a little too overboard. That's when I kind of like get like, okay, that's dumb. But when people finally get their bit, it makes it even better. Like, but those two are fantastic. And Alex has been great since I've like known him on the Raw review. I mean, when I first started watching Fightful, like he was doing the Raw review with Sean. I mean,
he's a day one Fightful.
Yeah, he's been with Fightful day one. I've been watching him just as long as I've been watching Sean. So just want to say congratulations to those guys. And in a few years, we'll be celebrating their 1,000th episode. And who knows? So just want to say congratulations to those crazy kids. And all right, Maggie, you can say what you want to on them.
thank you. I adore Sour Graps. It is I adore the fact that Kate is a part of Sour Graps, because initially I'm gonna say it like this. Alex scared the crap out of me. because like when he does a solo show for Sour Graps, he just sounds so incredibly disappointed, you know? And it brings me back to kindergarten when, you know, the teachers were so disappointed at me and yelling at me because he's just yelling at the camera. He's yelling at the camera and he's like so angry and stuff. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. And that's just, you know, and when Kate joined the show, it became because like she's a bit more peppy, and because even though she's incredibly sour about the thing that she's watching and she doesn't like it, she's still Kate. Mm-hmm. You know, and I adore Kate because she's my biggest cheerleader like every time. And and even though she presents her disappointment, she's presenting it in an incredibly Cadian way, which is, you know, full of love and, you know, nourishment and love. And I enjoy their puns. And this is the thing. Every time when I finish watching NXT, I start doing my workouts while I'm watching the NXT post-show Sour Graps. And every time I start laughing because of either what they're saying or because of the puns that their incredible audience is sending them. And like, I cannot tell you how much I almost broke my back because they were doing fish puns. and someone sent a super chat, and I'm not even shitting you. Kenny Omega 3 fish oil. And like, I lost it. Okay, like how do you think of that? And of course, we will all there for the human duplex machine. And you know, it's an old timer. Okay, like it's they have a top five of puns that people have sent them. I adore the Sour Grape Society because they're so supportive. Like, even though they're in this hate together, they're together. Yeah. And yeah, and I enjoy. I love that. Subscribe to Fightful Select just so you can have a double dose of Sour Graps all the time.
Yeah, for sure. So congratulations to them. And yeah, as they says, save the clams. Just
yeah.
So let's move on. We have this past Valentine's Day, we had Darby Allin lovable promo for Dynamite toward the Young Bucks, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson. He basically verbally attacked them for what they did to him and Sting the previous week. The thing that was of note that everybody was talking about was what he said about a certain former executive vice president who took a chance on him named Cody Rhodes. He never mentioned Cody's name, but the crowd knew it.
The audience did.
Yeah, and how about that? How about the even the crowd getting Channing Cody, like, you know, WWE loves that, you know, so.
The audience were the one who booed Cody out of the building, so, like, yeah, I know what they're doing. Like, yeah. Guys?
Well, I did want to know, what do you think of this promo? What did you think?
I have a lot of thoughts about that promo.
Okay, so, let's hear them.
Who was this for?
Well, I think it was for... I think it was for Darby and Sting and, like, the fans, because it made good, like, the way he presented it, it made perfect sense, like, the way he laid it out, because he's right. They did sign their friend. Brandon Cutler got a deal. They signed Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy was, like, part of that Southern California crew, you know?
Okay.
So I kind of got what they were talking about.
So zero mention of the Sting beatdown, and I kind of feel like it was supposed to be about that. I think. But here's the thing. So the first episode of Dynamite shouldn't matter, Darby, sweetie. I mean, the first episode of Dynamite was fucking 5 years ago. Right? Well, yeah, it was 5 years ago.
Yeah, almost
5 years. So he talks a big talk about that first episode of Dynamite, and Brandon Cutler was there. Brandon Cutler in kayfabe, in the kayfabe world of Dynamite, does not matter whatsoever, because Brandon Cutler is not there. And the only storyline that Brandon Cutler was a part of was on Dark, because he never won a match. And he was there with Peter Avalon. You know, that is the only thing.
I get what you're saying there. Like, it didn't make sense. But what I'm talking about, like, from a standpoint of, like us, the people that are on the internet.
I know.
It makes sense for, like, it didn't make sense for us. I get it from a story standpoint for the people that are not watching, like, as much as in depth as we are. Probably the best way to say it. I think it was
I understand, but, like, this is what I'm telling you. Like, he brought up Brandon Cutler. Brandon Cutler never mattered, dude. Like,
and the point is, and the five to great, or T5 the great, sorry. That's, I think, what the point was. He's like, he's pointing out that Cutler got a job because he's their friend.
To contract Cutler. Like, I know, I know that he's his friend, and I understand that. But my key point is that Darby, in my eyes, this shouldn't matter to Darby, because he's teaming with Sting, like, one of the all-time greatest wrestlers ever. They're probably going to main event. We still don't know. Like, that is... He got CM Punk's first match back in 7 years. Darby's pushed. And I kind of feel like this should be the thing that mattered. I get him being bitter about the thing that happened 5 years ago. I get that. That I can get behind.
Yeah.
But I've said this on our show previous. Yeah, shit.
Well, the thing too is, and Subi makes a good point, like, he was talking about from the standpoint of how they used to be, like, how they wanted to change the world and how they changed.
Sure.
Like, mm-hmm. They went from, they wanted to change the world, and then they re-signed because the schedules were easier now, or that's why. Like, I think he was pointing out that
was good. That was fine.
I think that's why it all, like, tied in together is what I think. And I see where you're coming from. Like, what did that point have to do? I think that was just adding a little bit more fuel to the fire, in my opinion.
Yeah, sure, but Brandon Cutler's not there, and Jungle Boy is in New Japan. Like,
yeah. But, I mean, yeah, but he's still on this roster for AEW.
I understand. Again, the thing is, and I've been vocal on our show before, that Darby... What?
You've been vocal on our show before? I did not know this.
No, never. No, I don't talk whatsoever.
Son of a bitch. I did not know.
Son of a bitch, what? Darby, I'm not. Darby Allin is not. I'm not the demographic that Darby Allin fits in, you know?
Yeah.
Because what's absolutely beyond captivating about Darby Allin for me right now is the fact that I want to see what Darby Allin the wrestler looks like in 10 years. This is what is fascinating to me, because Darby Allin right now is working. I understand the fact that it's not for me. This should not matter, because everyone adores Darby Allin. I adore Darby Allin because I want to see what Darby's wrestling is in 10 years. Because right now, I kind of feel like if he continues wrestling the way he wrestles, it's going to be tough in 10 years. Because they keep saying, oh, there's a suicide dive. And when Darby does it, I kind of really believe it's a suicide dive, because the guy does not give a crap about what's standing there, or, you know, 10 feet away or 2 feet away. He just doesn't give a crap. And I feel like every time that he, you know, goes for a suicide dive, he truly believes that it's in fact a suicide dive. And I'm like, okay, I'm scared as shit because he's about to do a suicide dive. He doesn't care, like, whatsoever. And I kind of want to see what his wrestling style is in 10 years. I want to see what his character is in 10 years, because he's young right now, and his gimmick works because he's young right now, and that's, you know, the whole gimmick and everything. I want to see what he morphs into, you know?
Well, we remember, like, we've seen him grow up, because you remember when he was just like this, like when he liked, I like turtles. Like, remember him back in the day? Remember that?
You know, you're just excited to see me and talk to me after I've been, you know, I've been gone for a week, and that's why you're doing it. I get it, but stop it.
That was him. When he was on video, that's when he decided he wanted to be a wrestler. Like, he liked the camera that much. He said, I like turtles. He meant to say, I like wrestling, but he messed up because the camera shy. He said, I like turtles. He meant to say, I like wrestling. Sure. It happens. Some of us are just camera shy. Yeah, I've seen it 100 times, but yeah.
And the Young Bucks, mentioning the Young Bucks in this entire situation, that was cute. Are you going to make it official? Are you going to make it official? And I'm like, you're the EVPs, guys. You can make it yourself official. That was funny. And by the way, at what point do the Young Bucks stop calling themselves the Young Bucks? Because they're not young anymore. Like, one of them is almost 40. So, yeah. Is he almost 40?
I think so.
36, probably. Let's and see. Like, it's at some point they need to stop calling themselves the Young Bucks. I know that they go by Nicholas and Matthew. That is the fine. Young Bucks.
Let's see here. Yeah, one's 38, and Matthew's 38, Nicholas is 34.
34, yeah. And Nick Jackson is my age. I know, like, he was born in the same year. Yeah, so I'm not crapping on the promo, because, like, I know, like, people may think that I'm doing that. Middle-aged Bucks. There you go. Thank you, MC. Thank you.
Middle-aged Bucks.
Middle-aged Bucks is so cool. Because old Bucks, they're not old. Okay? Like, Gen Z can say, you know, old Bucks. No, they're middle-aged Bucks. That is fine. Midlife crisis Bucks. Well, because, like, that soul patch that they have had, you know, the Sting soul patch, it took me a while to understand that there was a jab at Sting. It took me some time, because, like, he's always had the face paint on, and I keep forgetting that he has that, you know. And I'm like, what are they doing with their facial hair? Because I always loved Matt's chops that he had. Like, he pulled those off immensely. And I miss Nick Jackson just having a clear face, because he had a beard for, like, a long time. And I'm like, shave that off, please. Yeah. Shave it off. Just shave it off. Making that point. Yeah, I know.
Oh, and there, like, we go. This is a better one, too.
The Booker.
Yeah,
Yeah, we'll talk about that here in a second. This match will.
Might as well talk about it right now. I mean, keep making me laugh in the chat, but like that's.
I mean that match.
Yeah. Okay. Takeshita and Ospreay.
This is where I think I said it on our show, and I might have said it in the tweet, but this is when they brought in Will Ospreay. I know I said I wanted him to be a face. Like I think they need him to be a face for a while because I think they could build around him and he's going to be a star. Like we already know he's a star from what we've seen, but I think he could be a bigger star. And like I could say that I think he could just not put up with Don Callis's shit is the best way to go about it for him.
I'm gonna need him to main event at Wembley this year.
Let's do it.
That is all I'm saying.
Let me tell you what it should be. It should be him versus Swerve at All In because there's history there. Let's go.
Yeah, there is. I mean, he was so emotional at the end of New Japan New Beginning. You know, because of that main event that they've had, that is a whole new level of war games right there. That was so amazing. Zack Sabre Jr. versus Bryan Danielson. Oh my fucking god, that was a technical masterpiece right there. I
do want to add one thing. If Bryan Danielson like stops full-time wrestling around then, Bryan Danielson will probably main event. So I'm willing to bet it wouldn't surprise me if we see like Danielson versus Ospreay. That would be a hell of a main event too.
I mean, they already have built towards that because like they asked Bryan Danielson on the presser after I think it was Forbidden Door. They asked him about a British, I don't remember who the reporter was, but they were like, oh, you know, about the other, you know, British wrestler. And he's like, what other British wrestler? And they were like, Will Ospreay. And they were like, oh, yeah, okay, I forgot about Will Ospreay. So there you go. Like,
I forgot about that. Build,
I will never forget about that because, like, that's when I wanted to see Will Ospreay and Bryan Danielson. Like, that's a magnificent build. Yeah, Takeshita versus Will Ospreay. Oh, okay. So, like, they just want people to fall in love with wrestling all over again. That's why they're giving us these incredible matches. But how do you think Chris Jericho butts his stupid face in this?
Who knows?
Because I know that he is.
He's on tour right now, I believe.
I don't care.
No, I'm just saying.
I know that somehow he's going to make it about him. And he's going to end up teaming with Will Ospreay. And please, no.
Ugh.
Keep Will Ospreay as far away from Chris Jericho as you can, because like they already had the stupid thing, okay? Like I saw, right? Like we saw at Wembley, Chris Jericho and Will Ospreay. Like we saw that, right? I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Like I don't want to see that. Like those two in the ring. I just no. So. Kyle Fletcher isn't on television. Is he in the Ring of Honor? I stopped watching Ring of Honor.
Isn't he a title holder in the Ring of Honor right now?
He's a TV champion, and that's why I'm asking. Is he on the Ring of Honor?
Yeah, he is. But let me see the last time he wrestled. It seems like
if he's showing up on the Ring of Honor, good. But because like he's not on AEW television. And I understand that he's Ring of Honor champion. That's fine. But I kind of wanted for Will Ospreay to come when he's officially part of AEW to come and just smack some sense into Kyle Fletcher's head because, like, he's...
Yeah, he hasn't wrestled since January 31st. And the last time he was on Ring of Honor was... January 10th. Is he hurt right now? Let me see.
I have no idea.
I think he might be injured now that I see that.
That but sucks.
I'll double check. I could be wrong.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so so I'm going to have to need Will Ospreay to come and just, you know, rectify everything with Don Callis, because like it makes it's kind of iffy at the moment.
Fletcher's not injured, so.
Fletcher's not injured, so he's not, just not there. Okay.
Yeah.
So we never know. We can never know. Something might be happening.
No.
But we did get an amazing main event on Dynamite, which absolutely
kicked ass.
Yeah. Because like I hoped that the entire Twitter world and Instagram world and wherever, that they're praising Matt Taven for that match, because I'm glad that they gave us this match so that the world can get reminded of just how good Matt Taven is. And I'm kind of a Matt Taven girl myself, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. So,
yeah. That suicide dive onto the table, which was laid on top of the announce table, was so incredibly gruesome. And I was like, please don't be hurt. Oh my God, please just don't. Please don't be good. Taven should be a face. So Orange Cassidy got out a Valentine's box of tacks from Chuck Taylor. That was that was so sweet. I love that.
It's a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. Bennett and Trent brawled with, you know, steel pipe and chairs or whatever. Orange Cassidy won with an orange punch with a chain wrapped around his, you know, his hand. I enjoyed the match. It was, again, I will always root for people from the Undisputed Kingdom to actually have matches on the show, because like they've been doing absolutely nothing. Like that entire storyline took a water skiing vacation into nothingness.
Yeah.
I'm so pissed off about that. I'm so disappointed because that build was so great that after the reveal, people were just done with it. And it, obviously, the fact that that Adam Cole is hurt, that is not helping, like, whatsoever. Wardlow just... I'm getting tired of this whole thing. And this is me saying it. And I've told this on our show last week. Like, they're gonna have to give me something more, because I'm beginning to grow incredibly impatient with everything that Wardlow's doing. They're flopping the guy. Okay? Like, we've seen what Wardlow can do in the ring. He's not a generic big guy, and that's how they're presenting him right now, and it's pissing me off. Like, his flexing and, you know, in the Titantron and admiring himself. Believe me, Wardlow, I get it. I admire you too. A little too much. But, like, his whole thing, I remember, was the fact that he was a big guy who can do swantons better than Jeff Hardy. Yeah, I said it. Okay, I said it. And like, he's powerbombing people forever and ever. And then I'm so glad that his knee is okay, because like, he kind of looked like he tweaked his knee, but he's fine. So I'm like, I know I'm a generic millennial and I need instant gratification, especially when it comes to Wardlow. But like, I don't care. But it's... They're going to have to give me more stuff than just them beating people up backstage. And, like, I get it. Like, they like Adam Cole's hurt. I get it. And at some point, MJF's gonna come back, and they're gonna pick up the story right where they left off. But like, I don't like the fact. Like the fact that they're kind of an afterthought right now. And this was the only, like, the devil storyline was what's been keeping Dynamite together previously. And then it all skyrocketed. And I'm, yes, Jamal, I absolutely, I'm with you. He needs a real match. He absolutely needs a real match. Like, give me meaty men slapping meat and Wardlow. Oh my God. So, like, That's what's pissing me off, because like you have Wardlow, like he's not, again, I've always hated generic big wrestlers, because like their thing is that they're big and they can slam people, like they can either powerbomb people or they can choke slam people or whatever. Oh, here's a tombstone pile driver, dude. Wardlow's not that. Wardlow can do a lot of hurricanranas, like to Luchasaurus or and whatever. Like, give me that. I miss that Wardlow.
Yeah.
Do you agree with me? Because like it's pissing me off.
Oh, I do. I do agree with you. So, a couple other news bits to talk about. Roosh should be coming back soon. He said he wants to add another.
I want Pac soon.
I don't know, but as far as Roosh goes, he says he wants to add another person to he wants to add two more people to LFI. He wants to add a woman and another man. Who's two people you'd like to see him add? I've seen a lot of people in chat put Thunder Rosa. Somebody put Lady Frost in there. I love that idea. I love the idea of Lady Frost being part of LFI.
Yeah, because like they obviously they don't need to be, you know, Spanish people in order to be in the in the group, because like Preston Vance is there. I would love for it to be Lady Frost, because I would adore for Lady Frost push and her actually be added into whatever screen time that they can fathom, you know. I would love that. It's incredibly strange for me that Thunder Rosa disappeared. Like, she came back, wrestled. She got a pop. Everyone was so glad that she's there, and, like, she disappeared. Give me Thunder Rosa, please. Give me back Thunder Rosa. Give me back Serena Deeb, because she had an amazing match. She cut a passionate promo in the ring after the match.
Yeah. I think this would be a good idea, too, Taurus.
Black Taurus was, yeah.
Kenny King.
Please give me Kenny King. I adore Kenny King in TNA, like Impact back then. But like,
yeah. So got that going on. So next week's show, we're going to be doing predictions for Elimination Chamber. We might even do some predictions for No Surrender. I think that's AEW's or TNA's next one. I think that's next week. Yeah, No Surrender's on the day before. It's on a Friday. They went back to our Friday show. Yay. So we'll do predictions for that. So we got prediction shows for the next 2 weeks, because the week after Perth is, I believe, Greensboro. So yeah.
What's in Greensboro? Is it
that's
Revolution? No.
Yeah. Yep. Revolution.
Oh. Okay.
I think
March 13th.
March 3rd.
March 13th is the Boston show. That's why I think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's okay.
Boston.
So, Maggie, how about we plug your shit?
Guys, at some point, you can follow me on Twitter at Maggie_IK and on Instagram at Maggie.IK. There is nothing on my Instagram right now, but believe me that I will come back. Right now, you can't follow me anywhere. Like, I will come back. So, I have nothing to plug. So, might as well you plug stuff, Rob.
All right,
Do you know what? Follow Corey Michaels on Twitter. Follow Soupy on Twitter. Follow Chris Mueller. Follow Ryan Sullivan on Twitter. That's the people. Those are the people that you should follow.
Yeah, faux show. Guys, you can follow me on X or Twix, as we call it here, at Rob Wilkins. You can follow me on Instagram at Fight for Rob. You can follow me on Threads at Fight for Rob. Yeah, that's something else too. We forgot to bring up. QT is back in AEW. He's not going to wrestle, or if he does wrestle at all, it's not going to be very much.
Backstage
at all.
Backstage.
So good for him.
Excellent shape, though. Oh my God.
Yeah. Guys, I want to say thank you again for tuning in. We will be back next week for predictions for Elimination Chamber.
On the regular time?
Yeah, regular time. We will probably talk about No Surrender to maybe a little bit, because Mustafa Ali will be making his TNA debut. So we'll talk about that, I'm sure. And who knows what else we'll be talking about. But other than that, we hope you have a great week. We want to say thank you for tuning into this special Sunday edition show. But we will be back next week at our normal time, 3 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Central on Friday. So, yes, that is going to be February 23rd. So I want to say thank you again for tuning in. We will talk to you soon. Peace out. See ya.
Thanks again for watching Coexisting with Rob and Maggie on Fightful Overbooked. This episode you just watched is available anytime.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.